Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. This is God's word. Abner conferred with the elders of Israel. "In the past, you wanted David to be king over you. Now take action, because the Lord has spoken concerning David. Through my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the power of the Philistines and the power of all Israel's enemies." Abner also informed the Benjamites and went to Hebron to inform David about all that was agreed on by Israel and the whole house of Benjamin. When Abner and 20 men came to David at Hebron, David held a banquet for him and his men. Abner said to David, "Let me now go, and I will gather all Israel to my lord the king. They will make a covenant with you, and you will reign over all you desire." So David dismissed Abner, and he went in peace. Just then, David's soldiers and Joab returned from a raid and brought a large amount of plundered goods with them. Abner was not with David in Hebron because David had dismissed him and he had gone in peace. When Joab and his whole army arrived, Joab was informed, "Abner, son of Ner, came to see the king. The king dismissed him and he went in peace." Joab went to the king and said, "What have you done? Look here, Abner came to you. Why did you dismiss him? Now he's getting away. You know that Abner, son of Ner, came to deceive you and to find out about your military activities and everything you're doing." Then Joab left David and sent messengers after Abner. They brought him back from the well of Sirah, but David was unaware of it. When Abner returned to Hebron, Joab pulled him aside to the middle of the city gate as if to speak to him privately. And there, Joab stabbed him in the stomach. So Abner died in revenge for the death of Asahel, Joab's brother. David heard about it later and said, "I and my kingdom are forever innocent before the Lord concerning the blood of Abner, son of Ner. May it hang over Joab's head and his father's whole family, and may the house of Joab never be without someone who has a discharge or a skin disease or a man who can only work a spindle or someone who falls by the sword or starves." Joab and his brother Abishai killed Abner because he had put their brother Asahel to death in the battle at Gibeon. David then ordered Joab and all the people who were with him, "Tear your clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourn over Abner." And King David walked behind the coffin. When they buried Abner in Hebron, the king wept aloud at Abner's tomb. All the people wept, and the king sang a lament for Abner. "Should Abner die as a fool dies, your hands were not bound, your feet not placed in bronze shackles. You fell like one who falls victim to criminals." And all the people wept over him even more. Then they came to urge David to eat food while it was still day, but David took an oath, "May God punish me and do so severely if I taste bread or anything else before sunset." All the people took note of this, and it pleased them. In fact, everything the king did pleased them. On that day, all the troops and all Israel were convinced that the king had no part in the killing of Abner, son of Ner. Then the king said to his soldiers, "You must know that a great leader has fallen in Israel today. As for me, Even though I am the anointed king, I have little power today. These men, the sons of Zeruiah, are too fierce for me. May the Lord repay the evildoer according to his evil. Chapter 4. When Saul's son, Ishbosheth, heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he gave up, and all Israel was dismayed. Saul's son had two men who were leaders of raiding parties, one named Baanah and the other Rechab, sons of Rimmon the Beerothite of the Benjamins. Beeroth is also considered part of Benjamin. And the Beerothites fled to Gittaim and still reside there as aliens today. Saul's son, Jonathan, had a son whose feet were crippled. He was 5 years old when the report about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nanny picked him up and fled, but as she was hurrying to flee, he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. Rechab and Baanah, the sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, set out and arrived at Ishbosheth's house during the heat of the day while the king was taking his midday nap. They entered the interior of the house as if to get wheat and stabbed him in the stomach. Then Rechab and his brother Baanah escaped. They had entered the house while Ishbosheth was lying on his bed in his bedroom and stabbed and killed him. They removed his head, took it, and traveled by way of the Arabah all night. They brought Ishbosheth's head to David at Hebron and said to the king, "Here's the head of Ishbosheth, son of Saul, your enemy who intended to take your life. Today the Lord has granted vengeance to my lord the king against Saul and his offspring." But David answered Rechab and his brother Baanah, sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, "As the Lord lives, the one who has redeemed my life from every distress. When the person told me, 'Look, Saul is dead,' he thought he was a bearer of good news, but I seized him and put him to death at Ziklag. That was my reward to him for his news. How much more, when wicked men kill a righteous man in his own house, on his own bed? So now should I not require his blood from you and purge you from the earth?" So David gave orders to the young men, and they killed Rechab and Baanah. They cut off their hands and feet and hung their bodies by the pool in Hebron. But they took Ishbosheth's head and buried it in Abner's tomb in Hebron. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Well, good grief. I mean, this is just gruesome, isn't it? People getting their heads cut off, stabbed in the stomach, getting their hands and feet cut off, getting hung up. I mean, this is messy. Like we said last time, this is reality. You and I live in kind of a bubble, geographically and historically. But this is history. This is the heart of man revealed. This is the truth. Was that the way it's supposed to be? This is the way it is. And if you notice, David's response to it wasn't, "You did what? You stabbed him in the stomach? Tell me all about it. Oh, you cut off his head? Wow, let me look." Don't forget that David, when he killed Goliath, cut off Goliath's head and kept it as a souvenir. This was a bloody, gruesome, violent culture. like the rest of humanity throughout history. I am half Norwegian. Norway is now such a peaceful country that they even make very nice accommodations for their prisoners. If you ever have to be a prisoner somewhere, Norway would be a good spot. But that is not the history of Norway. I said I'm half Norwegian. You could restate that. I am half Viking. And if you know anything about the Vikings, I'm more than half Norwegian because of my Scottish ancestry. And the Scots were the descendants of the Vikings who came down and took over those parts of what is now the UK. And they didn't do it by coming in and saying, let us be your trading partners. They came in and they raped and pillaged and took what they pleased and settled where they wanted. Yes, my DNA makes me totally incapable of resisting violence. I'll tell you something. It's not just the Vikings. Africa is a bloody continent. Asia is a bloody place. All over the world, the human heart is filled with deceit and violence. And you and I need to realize that the only way we could be saved was for the Lamb to offer his life in our place. We deserve the death penalty, and Jesus took it for us. He died in our place. But as you look at what happened here, as David's kingdom is being established, his enemy was Abner. And Abner, after a while, decided, I don't want to be his enemy anymore. I want to be his servant. I want to be his commander. And so I will get all these tribes of Israel to follow my lead and swear loyalty to King David. And Abner, verse 17 of chapter 3, conferred with the elders of Israel. In the past, you wanted David to be king over you. Now take action, because the Lord has spoken concerning David. Through my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the power of the Philistines and the power of all Israel's enemies. How did Abner know that? Because everybody knew it. Well, then why had Abner resisted and set up a little puppet king named Ishbosheth, who was son of Saul? Because it was a power play. And for a couple of years, it looked like it was going reasonably well, but God was giving more and more power to David, and Ishbosheth's forces under the command of Abner were suffering loss upon loss. And so when Ishbosheth made a slanderous accusation against Abner, Abner decided, that's it, I'm changing sides. But now he would come bringing Israel under the control of David, and that would make Joab, who had been David's military commander when they were outnumbered, it would make Joab very unhappy, because now you would have two rivals for power. Abner bringing the tribes of Israel, Joab having been with David from the start. Meanwhile, Joab had another reason to hate Abner, and that was that Abner had killed Joab's younger brother when Joab's younger brother would not stop trying to chase him down. Do you remember that Abner said to Asahel, turn and fight somebody else. You know, you can beat them. I don't want to kill you. How will I face your brother if I kill you? But Asahel would not stop chasing him. And so as he's running, he took the butt end of his spear and went back like that. And it went right through Azahel's stomach and killed him. Okay? He didn't hunt him down and kill him. He defended himself in battle. But because that was Joab's brother, Joab wanted to kill Abner. And so he did. And it was murder. They didn't meet on the battlefield. He took Abner aside like he wanted to talk to him. Here, come here, I've got something to tell you. And what he wanted to tell him was, you're dead. I mean, it was an assassination. David was not happy. And the people of Israel, who had just lost the guy they had trusted, who had been a military commander under Saul and now had been leading them for a couple of years under Ishbosheth, the people looked to see, did David set him up? We know that Abner was offering terms of peace. We know that Abner came to us and told us we ought to align ourselves with David. Did David reward him by having him killed? But when they saw the fact that David mourned for the loss of this man who for years had opposed him, they accepted what David said, and that is that he was innocent. Let me tell you something. Throughout your life, whether it is in a local civic group, whether it is in a church, whether it is in your extended family, there will be all kinds of power games and people saying this about that person and so forth, and it's going to be hard sometimes to know who's telling the truth. Because here's a hint. A lot of people don't tell the truth. In fact, a lot of people don't even tell the truth to themselves. They don't know what's going on. They don't understand their reason for doing things. And so, in the midst of it, how can you know who's telling the truth? How can you know who had a right to do what they did versus those who do things they have no right to do? How can you know? Answer, you can't always. But I'll tell you this, God knows. God knows. There is no fooling him. Well, David tried to make it clear to the people of Israel that he was innocent of the blood of Abner. But in the very next chapter, two of the guys who worked for Ishbosheth, who led raiding parties, which is not a compliment, decided that they would do something to advance their cause. They would cut off the head of Ishbosheth, the rival king, and bring it to David, saying, congratulations, now you don't have any rivals. And so they went in to the imposter king Ishbosheth's bedroom, stabbed him in the stomach, and then cut off his head and brought it to David and said, here you go. They expected a reward. They said, here's the head of Ishbosheth, son of Saul, your enemy, who intended to take your life. Today the Lord has granted vengeance to my lord the king against Saul and his offspring. David wasn't looking for vengeance against Saul and his offspring. David could have killed Saul himself, remember? So David had those two murderous thugs killed because he didn't want people like that as his ally. Be very careful who you align yourself with. David did not want to be aligned with violent, dishonest people, even though he himself was a warrior. But there's a difference between war and assassinating people while they sleep. David, when God sent him on a mission, was willing to use deadly force in order to eliminate the enemies of God. Earlier in 1 Samuel, a story we haven't looked at recently, David was insulted by someone, and he was ready to go in and kill that man who insulted him and his whole militia. But the man's wife came and said, "Please, please, take pity on us. Don't do it." And David said, "Praise be to God, because you have spared me from sinning greatly." It would not have been right for David to have done that, even though he had that capacity in his heart. So when you look at these two sections, the second part of chapter 3 and all of chapter 4, you see a violent, violent culture that gives us a window on the human heart. But you also have a hint of something else. Look in verse 4 of chapter 4. Saul's son Jonathan, who had been David's best friend, had a son whose feet were crippled. He was 5 years old when the report about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nanny picked him up and fled. But as she was hurrying to flee, he fell and became lame, obviously a spinal cord injury. His name was Mephibosheth. That's all that's said about him there, but it's a seed of something else that's going to come later. We're going to be told the story of how David showed mercy on the son of his friend Jonathan. Instead of fearing that yet another descendant of Saul would grow up to be his enemy and his rival for the throne, David is going to be looking for an opportunity to show kindness to one of Saul's descendants. He's going to look for an opportunity to be gracious in victory. So, as you look at the Old Testament, you will see there's a lot of grotesque, evil behavior, but it's not approved by God. There is also violence that is commanded by God. David did not sanction the assassination of Ishbosheth, but David commanded the execution of his murderers. Capital punishment and just war are presented in Scripture as legitimate and not just in the Old Testament, but also in Romans chapter 13, which says that the government does not bear the sword in vain. Please understand that while injustice will be punished by God, sometimes God punishes injustice in this life and uses those authorities he has established to do so. I realize for some of you that just went zinging right over your head, but I hope that some of the rest of you took it to heart and made note of it, because we live in a world that does not understand the difference between right and wrong. And the ultimate difference is this. What does God say? What does God say?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.